Fina Sleen. Sina.
Hello.
Hello.
How is everything? I have to say, I haven't seen you, I believe, in more than 10 years. That's a long time. That's a decade.
I forgot to say in my last episode, welcome to Labors for Neighbors. So I will welcome you to Labors for Neighbors. It's a show, as I think that you know, about labor and work and jobs. And it's good and well for us to do labors that benefit ourselves. That's perfect. That's appropriate. But to do labors that benefit others and even our enemies, that is otherworldly and miraculous, or something weird, wild, and wacky. You did that many years ago. I first met you at the New York City Rescue Mission. What year do you think that was?
I want to say like 2012, because I believe it was my senior year at NYU, and I needed to put together a project for my journalism class. And so I believe I showcased you guys and a man who donates a lot to the rescue mission. I don't know. Do you remember Robert Lee at all?
Yes. Yes.
So I was doing a story on him. He was my subject. And so I had to get what we call B-roll video to cover the piece. And so I followed him there. Robert Lee.
Say that name again.
Robert Lee.
Robert Lee.
Yes.
See, I wasn't as involved in development as the development department is. So Robert Lee, but I'll look up that name. Do you think that footage is online somewhere?
It probably is. And I can look into my old YouTube pages, where I usually am embarrassed to see, you know, how I started off, but I will do that for you.
The thing that impressed me back in the day was that you have an interesting name. You have a unique name. Is there anyone else in the world named Sina Sleen?
No, but I get confused a lot for John Cena, which gets a little bit annoying, but I'll take it. It's Egyptian, so most people don't realize that, because I'm half Egyptian. My father's side is Egyptian, so yes, that name is Egyptian.
Wait, both names are Egyptian?
Yes.
Sleem is an Egyptian name, last name, and Cena is an Egyptian first name.
Yes, it's actually a place in Egypt that my dad named me after.
Have you been to Egypt?
I have. I went, last time was 2010.
Did you go to Sina? Did you go to Sina?
I didn't go to Sina. I went to see my family in Alexandria, but it was interesting because it was during the time of the revolution. So it was definitely a risky but fun trip.
That's on my bucket list, is to have you go to Egypt to visit Sina and to say to someone in Sina, my name is Sina and this is Sina. And they'll go.
I mean, I have a hashtag going for it already. Seen in Sina.
Oh, yeah? In Sina. who back in the day, back when you were 5, 6, 8 years old, who gave you, or 10, who gave you your work ethic? Where did you see it done? Who do you give props to?
100% my father. He is a tough Egyptian man. He was the one who wanted me, since I was a young age, to be a lawyer. So I actually got into NYU for their pre-law program, which most people don't realize. So I double majored. So I'm a politics major and a journalism major. But I told my dad, I do not like law. I want to be a journalist. I want to tell stories and make a difference in my community. I just don't see the lawyer route being that way. I want to do journalism. And he was like, huh? But he ended up supporting me, and here I am today. But you, definitely my father.
Yeah. That's,
he's
that's
a
good.
Scary man in a good way.
that tends to be the, I would say 60% of the answers to that question are dad. Because mom.
Yeah, you know, the thing is.
Mom usually works for.
You know, I'm first generation. So I think when you have immigrant parents, you know, they gave up everything for the American dream. So they just put so much into you, you know?
Mm. Right. And you graduated in 13?
2012.
And did you get a job immediately?
No, it took me a year, because being on TV, it's super competitive. I had no TV experience, of course, because not just anybody throws you on TV. So I just applied anywhere and everywhere. And my first job took me to Eugene, Oregon.
But you grew up where?
I grew up in Queens.
And so your first job was in Eugene, Oregon.
3,000 miles away. I landed in a farm. I was very scared, because I had never left the city at that point, you know?
What do you mean you landed in a farm?
And literally, I mean, Eugene, Oregon is a very, very small town. Love the experience. But I just remember me and my dad had to take a tiny jet because there were no direct flights. And we landed right over a farm. And my dad goes, "Are you going to be okay here?" And I said, "Well, I have no choice."
Before I forget to ask, do you speak Arabic?
Very little. Like, "I love you. I miss you." So things I could say to like a relative. So when we do the FaceTime, you know.
And so I should not ask if you speak Egyptian. I should say, do you speak Arabic?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And what was your next job after Eugene, Oregon?
I actually worked in Long Island for a little bit for Fios One News. I wanted to come home. So I looked in that area.
And right now you work in Buffalo.
No, I work in Nashville. I know. I mean, who would have? Maybe, because I bounced around a lot. It's hard to keep up with me.
did you work in Buffalo for a minute or two?
I didn't, but I did work in Western Mass, which is just as cold as Buffalo. So yeah. Same thing, right, essentially?
But I guess that's why I associate you with Buffalo. But now you are in Nashville, correct?
I am in Nashville. So I'm trying to make every coast, you know.
Tell me one thing that you have done in Nashville besides report. How many years have you been in Nashville?
Almost 2 years now.
And what have you done in Nashville off the top of your head that has contributed to your neighbors, to your community, to Nashville, besides reporting? Anything? I haven't done anything in New York.
I do go to a lot of community events. I think part of being the face of the station and wanting to have a handle on local news is, you know, you want to be a part of the community.
So anytime
I do a story, if I hear that there is an event that I can support, I do try my best to go. I work weekends though, so it makes it a little bit more difficult because a lot of events happen on weekends. And I also am part of a few of like the Chamber of Commerce. So I'm part of like the Latino Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I go to their events just because, you know, I really want diversity to be a thing down here with my company. We're trying to push those kind of issues. So being a part of those different diverse communities is important.
You lean into your community. Since I started this show 2 months ago, I have felt myself, I was already extroverted, but I have felt myself leaning in even more because the community is doing great work. My question to you regarding Nashville, I've been there. What is the hardest part of reporting anywhere but in Nashville?
I think it goes back to the diversity part. I would say the demographic here, the majority are white people. And being an Asian Egyptian, you don't find many of those folks down here. And so just education is really big. I mean, we're having very deep conversation nowadays when it comes to Black Lives Matter. There's so many protests happening every week. And so I do feel as a minority, it is my mission to bridge the gap between all these different races and to educate people on minority issues that they might not be aware of.
Do communitarians accept you're striving in that way, or do they kind of sort of reject you, or is it a little bit of both?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think people naturally don't really like the media, if I'm being honest. I think, you know, now, I mean, it's just such a hot political climate nowadays that I feel like people are having a tough time trusting people. And the media is one of those people that they have a hard time trusting. But I think they know if you're genuine or not. And so I hope that they can see that I'm genuine. But I think education is key. Because I will say, you know, I've encountered some ignorant people down here. I had people come up to me thinking I don't speak English. And to me, it's the most shocking thing in the world because I am one of the most Americanized folks you can meet, you know? So I'm like, no, I speak English. Like, it's okay.
When I first met you at the mission, I mean, you are cute, and a blind man 12 blocks away can see that, but you are personable and bright and extroverted and put together. You struck me as an anchor. Do you have anchor somewhere in the future, hopefully, for you?
Well, thank you, first of all. I used to anchor in Western Mass, so I did have an anchoring stint Here, I'm enjoying reporting just because I'm out in the field more. I think they're just very different. You know, with anchors, they're on the desk. They don't get to go out in the community as much as I do, whereas I get to see the action, you know. I'm in it. Like, I mean, covering those protests, some of those riots, I almost got arrested on Saturday. You know, like, I mean, you won't get that on the anchor desk. They didn't realize I was part of the media. They thought I was the protesters.
Did you feel at risk?
No, no, media badge. Don't arrest me. I'm covering this.
Do you ever feel at risk?
Yeah, but I think that naturally as a journalist, you know, you're running towards the fire, not away from it.
So most reporters, if you hold a gun to their head and get the truth out of them, would they like to be anchors? Is that something that they lean toward?
I think it really depends on your goals. I personally am okay with not anchoring because I like being in the field. I like being in the action and the madness. But there's some people who prefer, you know, being more of the personality, you know.
If I give you the anchor job for NBC Nightly News tomorrow, or if I offer it to you, do you lean toward that or do you lean away from that?
I mean, I think it depends. I mean, money. Sounds bad. But honestly, let's say we take money out. I mean, we got to live, right? Let's say we take money out and you are offering a reporting job and an anchoring job, both the same money. I'd probably go reporting, to be honest.
Because it's more accurate.
I don't like a lot of attention on me, which is funny because people are like, you're on TV. But if you watch my stuff, I don't make the stories about me. I've never made it about
you. And I saw that yesterday or the day before. I said, let me look at a few minutes of Sina Sleem. And I didn't get a few minutes of Sina Sleem. I got 1 second, 2 seconds, 4 seconds of Sina Sleem. I got the story.
I try to put myself in there as much. I just don't feel like it's about me. It's about the issue I'm representing or the people I'm talking to. So I don't want the attention on me. That's never why I went into journalism.
Where would you like to work a year from now?
I love my station. This was my dream station. Channel 5. Oprah worked here. Did you know that? This was my goal since college. So it's pretty awesome to say I finally got here. It took me 7 years, but I'm here.
Oprah Winfrey worked in Nashville?
She did. She was the anchor here at my station. So it's kind of full circle because I remember writing a college paper about her saying I look up to her. And then to be at her station, pretty crazy.
She is Saint Oprah. Who does not look up to Oprah Winfrey? Everyone and his brother and his sister wrote a paper about Oprah Winfrey in college. I'm kidding. I joke.
I mean, she's hard to compete with. I mean, that woman gave everybody a car one day. I wish I could do that.
Because of you, Sina, I'm going to invite Oprah Winfrey onto the show.
Please do. And tell her she remembers our station. Be like WTVF. You can name drop.
That will be my angle, I'll say. I saw Sina Sleem again. She's at your old station in Nashville. She looks up to you. I told her I would write you. Here, I'm writing you right now.
Yes, let's make it happen.
what is the favorite part of your work? Why do you love reporting?
I mean, I love telling the stories. I think everybody has a story, and not a lot of people have a platform to express it and to get the word out. And so, meeting all these people and getting them the help that they need, or just getting an issue brought to surface that maybe was overlooked for many years. You know, we cover a lot of communities who often feel like they're overlooked by the government and by all these officials. Like North Nashville, for example, it has a lot of, it's an up and coming area, but there's definitely a lot of people there. It's a historically Black neighborhood, so they feel overlooked. And they were hit really bad with the tornado, for example. A lot of their homes got leveled and they weren't getting the resources they need. And so I was able to go there and be like, we need to shine a light on this. And before you know it, they had gyms filled with donations. I mean, that is the impact. I love feeling that. And I love seeing it come to fruition.
Sina, you're a model citizen. You were a model citizen back in 12. I saw that 400 feet away, and I'm blind in my left eye, by the way.
Oh, really? Did I not know this?
Oh, give your call letters for your station again.
WTVF.
WTVF, as in Frank.
Yes.
Sina Sleem and WTVF, you're the best. Keep blessing Nashville. Keep blessing the world and your community. You are the best. Thank you for being on Labors for Neighbors, and hope to see you again.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye.